The Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for all those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants shall know among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge that they are a people whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as the garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. And then our New Testament lesson from the first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 5, verses 16 through 24, on Pew Bible page number 960. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise the words of prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and the soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. Beloved, pray for us. Greet all the brothers and sisters with a holy kiss. I solemnly command you by the Lord that this letter be read to all of them. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. This is the word of our Lord. Let us pray. Mighty and gracious God, we thank you for your word that lights our path and guides our hearts, for the ways in which you move in, around, and through us, the compassion you show to stand with us in good times and in bad, all the ways you work in and through our world. We ask, O Lord, that you'll be with us as we listen. As we listen to your word and let it move around us, may it touch our hearts and our minds and guide us so that we might be your people. In your holy and wondrous name, we pray. Amen. Today we lit the pink candle of joy. Now, I've mentioned once or twice that this is always Edie's candle for me. And that's because my older sister, Edith, hence why we call her Edie or Ed or late for dinner or smelly older sister, any of these titles work. Every year we'd get together and we would debate and figure out who was lighting what candle. And the candle that always everyone wanted to light was love. because it's the fourth, and you get to light all the other four, except Edie. Edie always wanted to light number three. Now, I used to think it was because it was pink. And then I thought, well, you know what? Maybe she's smarter than the rest of us, because the rest of us have a year where we light the first candle. And then we have a year where we light the second candle. And then we finally get to the fourth candle, but Edie gets to light three candles every single year. So she, at least in my mind, was smarter. What can I say? We were kids of a minister, and these are PK problems. Now, like I said, I used to think those were the reasons. And being a younger brother, I didn't dare ask my older sister why she preferred the joy candle. Because it was the joy candle that she wanted to light. Not the pink candle, not the third candle, the joy candle. And it was because so often this moment is tied to Mary and her Magnificat, her song of joy for all that God is doing and has done. This is the one year where that's not one of the recommended scriptures. Every other Advent, that gets suggested. Now, it's always fun to look at the joy candle and think it's the candle of happiness. But joy and happiness don't necessarily walk the same road. We'll walk down that road in a bit. Now, this particular candle ties into this scripture from Thessalonians, in that we are to rejoice in the Lord always. Now, when I looked at my other Bibles so that I could see where the variance in translation was, the NIV said to be joyful. Rejoice, be joyful. All right, we're on the same path. We're in there. But to rejoice is something more than just be happy. To rejoice in the Lord is a real and tangible way we are called to be God's people. How we are to be in this time. Now, Paul gives us three pillars, three things that should be a part of every Christian, every church. Three things. And each one is pretty challenging when we think about it. We are challenged to rejoice, challenged to be thankful, all of these working together, these three things. Now, let's think about these in turn. To think about moments and bring thanks at all times is hard. To pray continuously is hard. To be joyful and rejoice at all times is hard. It's hard because it's worth working for. Now, when we take each one apart, work through them, to pray continuously. It's always easy to pray when we are in the deep depths of where we are in life, right? When things are going hard, we need prayer to help us. We need that. But do we pray as often in the good times? In the joyful times? But what about the middle roads? When we are thankful, is it easy to give thanks when we are going through the thick and thin of life? Or is it easy when things are going well? When we think about rejoicing, again, is it easy to do at all times, across all settings of the spectrum? No. We have particular times when these are easy, particular times when prayer comes easy, particular times when thanksgiving comes easy. It is when those times are hard that it is forgotten or difficult. Paul isn't concerned about specific moments. He's concerned about the whole spectrum of life. These three things aren't supposed to be broken out in hard times. These three pillars are how we are to be and to live every moment. Think about this, because when I say pillars and I say pillars of the church, it can cause us to think a little differently than we should. We're all familiar with the little rhyme, "This is the church, this is the steeple, open the door and see all the people," right? If you don't know it, well, now you do. I love that, but I also have a theological problem with it. This is the church is not right. This is the building. This is the steeple. This is the church. You don't need a building to have a church. Look around you. That is the church. So when I say pillars of the church, these are pillars for us. If the building prays continuously, well, that would be weird. If the building gives thanks at all times, that would be even weirder. And if the building rejoices, we're probably a little creeped out. But if we do these things, then we are walking that path of God. So let's change our thoughts, because these pillars are parts of our faith, our life. Pillars of faith, pillars for us. But again, they're hard to do at all times. Now, maybe it's me, but I always think of these three together, and I think pray without ceasing is the easiest. If I'm wrong for you, well, that is. It's easier to pray, to get into the practice of prayer, to remember that you need to lean on God, to lean on the needs that God has in your world. It's easier to bake an act of prayer into your daily living and doing. Think about it. If you're walking down the street, you can pray. If you're baking, you can pray. If you're reading, okay, it's a little harder to do when you're reading, but you can pray while you're reading. Prayer is so intrinsic in everything we do. Think about the books you've ever seen or read on prayer. You can do it almost any time. It's really kind of multifaceted. But it takes a commitment for us to do it at all times, to pray continually, to pray in all circumstances, at all times, in good, in bad, and everything in between. That's our challenge. But then we get to the harder parts of these pillars. Give thanks in all circumstances. That is hard to do. When we are navigating the thick and thin of life, of work. Have you ever said, "I am grateful for being in traffic today"? Have you ever said, "I am grateful that this line at Hannaford is 8 miles long"? No. And yet we are called to do so. We are called to give thanks. Because when we give thanks at all times and in all circumstances, we are not only following God's instruction, but we are finding God's hand even in the rotten moments of life. If we are stuck in line at Hannaford, what is a thankful point in that? It's not that I'm stuck in line, but it's that I have time to wait and be patient and contemplate. If I'm stuck in traffic, I might have a chance to slow things down a little bit. I might have a chance to say that prayer that I've been putting off for a minute. It's hard to find God's hand and be thankful for that hand in the bad, in the hard, in the difficult. But that is a challenge for us to meet. To celebrate and be thankful at all times, at all places. To find God's hand in every moment of our lives. When we're grieving, it could be the hand of a friend on our shoulder. It could be a text from a friend saying, I'm thinking of you this week. Find the thankful. And once you learn to find a thankful in everything, when you learn to find God's hand in your ins and outs of life, it's easier to see it. The more you do it, the more you're able to see it. But then comes joy. To rejoice always. It's a continual theme throughout Scripture. In Philippians, Corinthians, Matthew, throughout the Psalms, left, right, and sideways in the Psalms. You are called on, we are called on to rejoice. I opened up my Strong's Concordance, my big, thick, monster book with all of the listings of certain words in Scripture. And would you believe that rejoice is listed on an entire page? Now, I know me saying it's on an entire page doesn't say much. Three columns and this tiniest font you ever saw. That is how often we are called to rejoice. The Psalms, the Proverbs, all of it call on us to rejoice, to sing praises for all that God is and is doing for us. Now, we're going to talk about being glad. When I rejoice in God, I'm not always glad, but I am always loving that God is with me. I might be going through that moment where I haven't had my first cup of coffee, but I can rejoice in all that God is, was, and is doing. It's hard to find a time to rejoice at all times. But again, like everything else, you think about it, the more you do it, the easier it becomes. To rejoice at all times and in all places. Why does Mary play so central a part in the candle of joy? Why is her song so moving and poignant? I'm sure we could debate other moments in Scripture about joy being paramount. But there is just something that is in that this young woman who has just learned that she is pregnant and has the pressure of the world on her shoulders can still sing a song of joy towards God for all that is and all that is being done. You think about it. When we think about the pressures that are on her, and don't modernize this. Don't put it in the 21st century. Put it in the zeros AD. Think about how this is an unwed woman. An unwed woman who is now pregnant and is going to be showing in the not too distant future. This is a young woman, 15 earlier maybe, and she is called on to bear the Son of God. This isn't just pressure. This isn't just normal teenage pressure that teens have to face. This is a world on her shoulders. And yet she sings in joy. She can sing for joy because of all that God is and is doing. I always remember this, and I remember a little old lady from the congregation I grew up in. She had had a really hard life. Lost children, lost her spouse, all fairly young. And every day she got up and said the same thing. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. She needed to remind herself that no matter how bad things are, how bad things were, there is still joy in what God has done with you, for you, and through you. And so, brothers and sisters, the candle of joy reminds us not just of peace and hope, but that no matter what in life, we can still sing praise and rejoice in God for all that God is, all that God was, and all that God is doing in our lives and our world. Brothers and sisters, may joy be yours in this week as we walk ever closer to Christmas. Amen.